You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Happy April Fools. I'm sorry. It is me in studio with Izzy Gutierrez. I can assure you, considering Stugatz is one of the variables, I can't fully assure you, but Dan and Stu will be returning this week. Got a lighter staff today, too. We got people out sick and whatnot, which is a shame because we've added to our ensemble Jess and Lucy, and here on the day of the biggest college women's basketball game of all time, neither of them are in. So we'll get into that with Tony and Roy. I'm sorry about that, but Izzy Gutierrez was so kind to help us out here.
I heard you're missing some feminine energy, so I showed up.
I wasn't going to do that, but I'm happy you're always there.
I like the Meryl Streep shirt.
Oh, thank you.
This is immense today, right? This is the biggest women's basketball game of all time. I think the ratings will bear that out. It is the story of the day. No doubt, it is happening before the Final Four, which I've seen a lot of takes out there saying, why did the committee do this? Why'd they put them in this bracket this early? Because I wanted to guarantee this matchup. If you wait one more round, you're not guaranteed that. It was hard enough getting to this point. These teams have been challenged in the tournament. And you have something that maybe some newspapers have posited as good versus evil. And we'll get into that in a second, but I cannot believe that we are here. If you watched morning cable television, it is the start of every show. It is Angel Reese. It is Caitlin Clark. It is Iowa. It is LSU. It is Kim Mulkey. You have tons of huge personalities at the forefront here, and they are going to own this night, and I'm really surprised that we're here.
I mean, you said personalities. I don't think it's personalities that is bringing people to the TV. I think it's the basketball. Like, I think Caitlin Clark, especially, people want to see what, if they haven't seen her already, what's the big deal about this woman. And then you sort of, if you're just learning, if you didn't even watch last year, didn't really know all the sort of smack talk that went between them and everything else, then you're curious to see what these defending champs look like against, again, this woman who's like taken everybody's fantasy and like created this great like women's basketball player, this team that everybody wants to watch. But I think the Kim Mulkey element adds a whole nother, I don't care if you have fallen in love with Caitlin Clark. I don't care if you hate Caitlin Clark. I don't care if you don't know anything about LSU. There's something about the Kim Mulkey element that you're just drawn to because she's just putting herself out there as this tremendous villain and doesn't care what you think.
Oh, but she took exception to how the LA Times at least positioned this whole thing as good versus evil and villains, which is weird. We're going to play two clips. First, I certainly want to play the Kim Mulkey retort to the LA Times thing, which, by the way, came at a great time for Kim Mulkey because it was a pretty garbage column. And I understand that it was a macro approach to explain the story of this. And Kim Mulkey, in every sense of the word, is a villain. But I think people projected something onto this team. And let's play the clip and we'll talk about it after.
How dare people attack kids like that? You don't have to like the way we play. You don't have to like the way we trash talk. You don't have to like any of that. We're good with that. But I can't sit up here as a mother and a grandmother and a leader of young people and allow somebody to say that. I don't get that. I'm sorry. I come from a different generation. I get it. But I know sexism when I see it and I read it. That was awful.
So Kim Mulkey takes the opportunity to weaponize something at a good time for her, I think, because she was under attack from the Washington Post article, which, by the way,
nothing burger,
big nothing burger.
What? Like, she's unlikable.
She's unlikable. She's bad to players. She's bad to former coworkers.
So is that the new one, or is that the one that still hasn't come out yet?
The Washington Post one was the nothing burger, where it talks about her like she's estranged from her family. It was just basically like a personality piece kind of thing.
Released. Yeah, I read it, and I'm like, all right, so when is this article dropping? Nothing about this Kim Mulkey piece really surprised me, and I think this is manna from heaven to get this article so she can use it for her team. And honestly, she's in the right. It was kind of a BS article. It's kind of like that meme, worst person in the world, made a good point.
I looked up that article so slowly because I said to myself, please don't be a Bill Plaschke column. Please don't be a Bill Plaschke column. And I looked it up, saw the byline. I was like, okay, I don't know if I know this person. That makes me happy. The question with Kim Mulkey to me is, like, first of all, she doesn't play that role very well. She's better off at being the jerk and being the villain. That you just don't really feel sorry for her there. Oh, how dare you not care about kids? Well, we can talk about a whole different set of things that Kim Mulkey doesn't seem to care about her own student athletes back in the day. But that's my question with Kim is, like, how good of a basketball coach do you have to be for all these girls in high school to eventually say, hey, yeah, I want to be around that for 4 or 5 years? Like, I get the whole idea of getting the most out of people, being demanding and all. There's so many coaches around the country that can do that without all the nonsense. So why go there? Even the players like Haley Von Lith, who transferred over there, seems like she's had a bad time there.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we? Is she adding to her aura? Is she making more people want to come to her school now with all this? Or is she just showing herself to the point where she's going to lose some people? Because I just don't get the appeal. I'm going to need somebody to explain this one to me.
I get the appeal. And I think that she's certainly becoming more infamous, but I don't necessarily think that's bad for her brand. I think people will pay more attention to the championship that they most recently won. She's a very successful head coach. And while she had to take this approach, on the opposite side of the coin, I found Angel Reese's reaction to everything going into both this game and on the heels of that article and being called a villain. Keep in mind, this whole rivalry with Caitlin Clark started over the Tony Yeo, the John Cena, you can't see me, and her talking trash on the court, pointing to a ring finger and kind of embracing a villain role. And we can get into why this feels like good guys versus bad guys. But here's Angel Reese talking about the Caitlin Clark game that's coming up tonight.
Me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. And like, I just wish people realize that, like, once I get between those lines, it's no friends. I have plenty of friends on the court that I talk to outside of the game, but like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends, we're not buddies. I'm gonna talk trash to you, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game, but after the game we can kick it. Like, I don't think people really realize that, and that's fine. I'll take the villain role. I'll take the hit for it, but I know we're going women's basketball, and if this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You like it or you don't.
So, Izzy, you have the head coach saying, how dare you call us villains in this way? And you have Angel Reese fully embracing the villain's role on the court. So a bit of a different message from player and coach there.
It's almost like people don't understand what they're watching because women are doing it. But all this stuff doesn't need explanation when it happens in the men's game. Like, nobody's saying, oh, wow, Jimmy Butler must really hate Drew Holiday because of all those antics during the playoffs. No, like, we get what that's about. And so, yeah, the fact that she has to explain it, you know, whatever, it is where it is. But she's saying what she said was absolutely perfect. It was almost like just the ABCs of sport.
I'm glad Lucy's not here at the moment because I'm going to say something. I think I'm rooting for LSU tonight. I want chaos. I want Kim Mulkey to have to just be feeling herself after the game. I want to be close. I want America to be, because everyone's rooting for Caitlin Clark, right? So I'm just kind of being an anarchist.
Is everybody rooting for Caitlin Clark?
No, not over here. Yeah.
Two Americas.
Yeah, this is a Two Americas thing. And it's funny because I do want to talk. There are racial components to tonight, which is how Kim Mulkey and some people in that locker room also took that LA Times article too. And I do think that a bit of that is justified. A few years ago, Bomani was in co-hosting with us, and he said, there are certain boxing matches that I can only watch with my black friends. And I was like, what do you mean? Hey, why can't I watch boxing with you? He's like, no, this is one of those fights that I just want to watch with black friends. There are racial components to this matchup, this Caitlin Clark Angel Reese one specifically, and it'll play out on social media. Just like there were racial elements to Magic and Bird, which is always the comparison when people are talking about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, there is a racial component. And if you don't see it tonight, tune into social media because it'll be in full force.
Yeah, but social media is the worst. Like, in reality, most people like Angel Reese, and Kim Mulkey's the one that we don't like.
No, you're not going to get any disagreement from me that social media is the worst, but it is an amplification of people's feelings. I mean, you can get into bots and whatnot, but there is a racial component 100% to what's going down tonight.
Well, and that was the problem with the article about LSU versus UCLA and the way that that was positioned of good guys versus bad guys, because the way it was articulated in that particular matchup was essentially whiter team versus blacker team. And that was the issue in, at least in that column, in the way that it was sort of positioned there, where tonight the reason that you have sort of the rivalry's already there. Like, it's an actual stated rivalry where we've seen trash talk. The way that Kim Mulkey was talking about it was specifically about that article and the way it positioned her team, where Angel Reese is discussing, like, the basketball elements of what that rivalry can look like and why people might look at her as the villain in a matchup like this one tonight.
I think when you talk about sort of the racial element and you're setting these two sides, it feels like it's suggesting that there's sort of conflict there. And really, the way, when you say it, what I hear is, hey, there's a lot of people that relate to Angel Reese and they're going to cheer for her. There's a lot of people that relate to Caitlin Clark and they're going to cheer for her. They don't hate the other one. They just can't relate to the other one. And so that's where I see a racial element. But I don't sit down in this game and say, hey, which race battle is going to win today? No, I don't see any of that. I see if Angel Reese goes off, there's going to be people who support her going off on Twitter. And if Caitlin Clark does something that seems like it would be disrespectful to LSU or Angel Reese, then they will stand up and defend that. But I don't think there's this default place where, hey, I'm an Angel Reese person. I hate Iowa. Maybe off of last game a little bit, but not really.
We're all talking about the same thing, and that social media is not a real place. But we've seen with, back in the day, Kobe versus LeBron. We see to this day, Cristiano versus Messi. If you support Angel Reese, the social media fandom is such that you don't like Caitlin Clark. And if you're a Caitlin Clark fan, you go out of your way to diss Angel Reese. That's just what American fandom is right now at the moment in sports, Jeremy.
It almost feels more like when it was Steph versus LeBron, in the way that you're talking about, there's an appreciation for each other's games. Like, the biggest stands of the other one are going to point out why there are flaws in the other person's game, or why this team or this program is better than the other. But ultimately, at the end of it, like, neither of those guys hated each other. In the league, most fans really appreciated both players for what they do. So it's more the narratives that we're creating around this game and the rivalry that already exists that makes it fun, right? That's why Steph versus LeBron became a thing, because they played each other so many years in a row. And when you have Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark here, it's a similar type of thing. Obviously, you know, Angel Reese, I wouldn't necessarily say is the LeBron James of women's college basketball, but when you have these narratives that are out there, it makes it a lot more fun.
And when you mentioned the John Cena, right? She did that, and she sort of mimicked Caitlin Clark saying, hey, don't worry about her.
Yeah.
And those sort of added to them.
Yeah.
Famously, LeBron's got to look back at Steph after he blocked him like this little kid.
Exactly.
Like, and that looks like I don't respect this man. Of course he respects that man. Yeah. He talks about it all the time. But
which is what Angel,
the lines is between the lines.
Which is what Angel was trying to say. And we once again reference the pro wrestling elements to the start of this rivalry, which college sports don't present this often, especially in our day and age, where it's one thing for Magic and Bird to be rivals in college, but with players going to the pros quicker, with the randomness of the tournament, you have a legit rivalry between LSU and Iowa just because they're playing for a second consecutive year. It's like UConn, Geno versus Pat Summitt. You could always guarantee, because they had such a monopoly over the sport back in the day, that was a legitimate rivalry. And once Pat went away, women's college basketball was missing that. But I want to get back to the pro wrestling elements, which is there's a saying in pro wrestling, like from the crowds, when they really get into a story, really get into a match, fight forever. And sometimes they'll even chant both these guys. It's not like the stand-em. They'll just be chants, both these guys, both these guys. And I think tonight's a great opportunity.
It's already a very confusing chant for me. Thank you for explaining it.
Both these guys. And I think that tonight is a wonderful opportunity to root on both of these athletes on the court, because it is something special. Roy, you mentioned that you were going for LSU, and then we talked about the racial components to this, and you didn't really add to why you were rooting for LSU. I see that Kim Mulkey is the head coach, so it can't be Kim Mulkey.
It is definitely not Kim Mulkey. I'm doing it for Angel.
Are you just flat out saying is it because
Angel is black and Caitlin is white?
No, I mean, I respect Caitlin. Like, she's the all-time leading scorer. Good for her, but I'm cheering for Angel tonight. Sorry.
Okay. So you don't want to say it.
But I don't want to say it. Yeah, you put me in a situation.
Well, hey, Roy, we can all feel it.
How you feel it?
You just say it, Roy. Say it. Don't put him in that spot. I mean, he's saying it.
Put himself in that spot.
I didn't do anything.
He
said, I know who I'm rooting for tonight. I was like, that feels
firm on that part. Why you're not so firm on
it. Yeah. Well, you didn't have to dive into it. You know what I'm saying?
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Especially in Miami, we know that it gets very, very hot. You go outside for 6 seconds, you're sweating and you're possibly dehydrated. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients, with 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Guys, I love Liquid IV. I get the sugar-free lemon-lime version. They should have my picture on it, how much I drink it, how much I use it. The sugar-free has no bad stuff, only good stuff. I use it when I go to the gym, when I'm playing hoops, when I'm going out on the boat, mix it in with a little bit of ice. Keeps me hydrated all day long. Just tear, pour, and live more with 1 stick of Liquid IV plus 16 ounces of water. Hydrates better than with water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DAN, D-A-N, at liquidiv.com.
Dan Le Batard.
How do people always go missing in the mountains?
Don't go to the mountains. And by the way, I don't want to bring race into it. This is the most white people thing ever. Yeah. Going missing in the middle of the mountains. It's the strangest thing. You go by yourself. You don't take a radio. You don't take a phone. You're missing for 4 days, and they find you like 10 years later covered in snow. And it's like, don't go by yourself. If you're going to go on a trail, don't go by yourself.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll. Is it the whitest person thing ever, I believe is what you called it? Going into the woods by yourself. Is going into the woods by yourself.
I can't disagree with that, man.
I mean, so black people don't camp?
Yeah, black people don't hike. They don't camp. They don't go out into the woods.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
This feels like such a cool moment for women's sport in general, and when you counter that with what happened yesterday, where there's not an asymmetrical court, that...
Unbelievable.
It is truly unbelievable. It's something that's out of a mockumentary-style special. I don't understand how we get here. For those that don't know, and hopefully we can throw up some B-roll, there it is, that two teams had agreed... It was discovered before the game that a three-point line wasn't the same on either end of the court. Now, you do switch sides.
You could tell by the eye. They walk to the other end. It's clearly smaller.
Yeah, that looks like, what, 2 feet? 2.5 feet?
it is very noticeable to our eyes that the three-point lines at both ends of the court look very, very different. This is not something I think I've ever seen before. In the NBA, you'll have... some controversies regarding, like, oh, this rim seemed to be a little off NBA, balance.
Wow, $5. If the NBA, if the rim is slightly off, somebody's noticing that right away, and we're taking as long as it takes to get that thing right. The resolution on this one is what shocked the hell out of me. Actually, not really, because it would have been shocking if it was the men who came up with this resolution. The women just said, eh. Whatever. We'll play anyway.
By the way, this could not have affected the game any less. I like did a deep dive. I was like, who had which side in the first half? How was their 3-point shooting? NC State was on the side with the longer one, and they balled out shooting in the first half.
No, they were unstoppable.
So it's like it is embarrassing. It's a bad look, but it couldn't have affected the game any less.
By the way, NC State making it to a Final Four.
They're having a moment.
Bad, yeah, no, the NC State basketball for men's and women's, both programs make it to the Final Four. NC State, their women's program, got clobbered by the University of Miami. That was Miami's signature win that people were trying to poke holes in. And so I see them make it to the Final Four, and I just get more and more angry.
And they're doing the same thing they did when they won it. They'd had to win every game. Had to win every game they've won since the beginning of the ACC tournament.
Yeah, on the men's side. I was talking specifically to the women because that was a huge win, and people didn't think NC State in the women's basketball tournament were really worthy of a higher seed, and they started poking holes in their game, and here they are in the Final Four. Incredible moment. But yeah, this is the dream scenario anytime your fledgling program enters a conference tournament. If we can just rattle off 13 straight wins, we're national champions. We can save our season. Their head coach was on the hot seat. They wanted him out. Him winning the ACC tournament not only gives him an automatic buy into the NCAA tournament, a tournament that he would not have secured a seed for had he not won that, and it also kicked in a 2-year extension into his deal that even entering the NCAA tournament, fans were a little lukewarm on. Here we are. DJ Burns becomes a star, and NC State has this miraculous run to the Final Four, knocking out Duke on their way.
So we are talking about the men. Okay.
Now we're back to talking about the men.
That ACC tournament, they could have been gone.
So they could. They were trailing Louisville. Louisville's a garbage basketball team. They were trailing Louisville at one point during the ACC tournament. This is the Cinderella story. Now they've won an NCAA championship in their past. They're a Tobacco Road dynasty. This is the farthest they've been since 1983, though. They are a name that matters. Anything in that Tobacco Road corridor matters when it comes to this sport. But they've been the forgotten program, as other programs in that corridor have had their moment. NC State is just holding on to success of a bygone era with Jimmy V. So to have both these programs in the Final Four for NC State at the exact same time, it's a hell of a moment. And that's a really cool college town because it's a big city, but it kind of feels like an SEC town when you compare it. And here we are, an ACC school, once again, in the Final Four. Everyone tells us, 3 straight years now, Seth Davis among them, the ACC is overrated. And what does the ACC do come tournament time? They always show out. And there'd be more if the ACC didn't get as many teams as they actually got into the tournament because they were cannibalizing themselves by the end of it. So DJ Burns is going to be playing Zach Edey in one Final Four matchup. The big man in college basketball, Tony, is back.
It never really went anywhere, right? Like, that's one place where you can always look at college basketball and have a guy who's 7'4", who can't play in the NBA, but he's a dominant force in college. And then stories like DJ Burns, where you get a guy who, when you look at him on the basketball court, you're like, is that a defensive lineman playing basketball? Like, I don't really know what he is. Then you see him with the drop steps, left-hand floaters, right-hand floaters, dominating, great passing. He looks like Escalade out there when he passes. Rest in peace, Escalade, by the way. But he gets passes where he's down in the lane.
I had no idea he lost and Escalade. He's
yeah, rest no in peace. Idea. Yeah, wow. Rest in power, Escalade. So he would get balls in the block, kind of do a shimmy shake behind the back. DJ Burns is an electric, but it's only a player that can live in college.
And that's, I feel like people are upset because of that, because you watch it in college and say, why can't that person exist in the NBA? And the answer is the game's just gotten way faster. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You can't just give him the ball. He's not going to do anything defensively. I get that. But the fact that there is just still a place for them in college, not just to appear, but to dominate and say, hey, that's what that can look like, a lot of fun.
Like, I've seen him run up and down the court. Like, you know, the next level, that game's not going to translate. Yeah. But if you get back to the basket where he's backing down Kyle Filipowski, who weighs 113 pounds soaking wet, he's dominating. The thing is, you can only do that in the NBA when you're Jokic.
Yeah, we've seen it, like, was it Kenny Lofton Jr.? Like, we've seen it in, you know, garbage games at the end of seasons where guys just get committed, or teams will commit to giving them the ball, but you're not going to do
that. Was that Barry Larkin Jr. you're thinking of?
No,
Kenny Lofton Jr.
No relation.
Multiple baseball players' sons.
No relation. That's a fine for you.
Can Kenny Lofton's not related.
That would have been Barry's son.
He's a Euro legend, by the way, Shane Larkin.
Roy, do you mind
if he's a monster over there. I was actually in Greece, and there was wall to wall coverage of Shane Larkin's. Don't trust me. I'm in a group chat. We're not myopic. We pay attention to the Euro success. I do want to talk a little bit on the other end about the pro prospects and why it's dumb that we can't separate what we're seeing in college from what we're seeing from NBA mock drafts and finding out. No. I just hate that. When Zach Edey does what he does, and this show is guilty of it, hell, I'm guilty of it. But I had an epiphany over the weekend. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this, take it for what it is. It's kind of like a 5'8" college quarterback that lights the world on fire. You know, next level, they're not going to do it. Yeah, there'll be barbershop conversations on how people will try to trick themselves into thinking this guy can maybe do it at the next level because the game has changed. Let's enjoy this ride for what it is. The Zach Edey's, the DJ Burns, we're going to be talking to Donovan Klingon from UConn. These are, even though he might actually have pro prospects, these are wonderful stories that are unique to this sport. And when people talked about college basketball when I was growing up, when they were romanticizing these things, these were the types of stories that they would lift up. And I hate that the discourse just totally wants to undercut it. It's a bad week shaping up for Dan Le Batard, I'll tell you that right now, especially with that performance from Zach Edey. I don't know if you fall with me, but I am just done with taking negative pot shots, poking holes in someone's pro game, because it's not the pro game. It's college basketball. They are dominating the sport right now. Big, meaty men slapping meat is going to dominate your Final Four.
I think I have a bit of a hot take. Zach Edey, too tall.
Just want to throw that out there.
Mike's already done this with women.
Too tall.
He's too tall.
I've done this with Edey, too. He is too tall.
He's too tall.
He is too tall.
Klingon makes it work.
But
he's 7'2", though.
But he's got the physical limitations that Wembanyama doesn't have that make you realize, our great game is safe, and we don't have to protect it from
Imagine
Zach
Victor
Edey.
Wembanyama, Zach Edey, and bigger balls.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugats.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
The one criticism I would have for NC State in this tournament, the men's side, and DJ Burns, is they try to recreate the San Francisco 49ers walk from the locker room to the field. with like a guy in a boombox. Like, no one does this better than the Niners. Right. It's super cool. And this one, it's just DJ Burns walking and like three guys that look like me behind him. And he's holding like a sad Bluetooth speaker. It's not like a oversized
thing. You're
saying
DJ Burns out of these group of guys is like the most physically imposing.
It just looks like DJ Burns walking out. Like there's people behind him, but none of them look like players. Like there's outside of him, they're not exactly a large team. It's just that's one area they could improve.
So you look like this generation's Radio Raheem.
That's right.
It's not Fred Warner behind him. It's Chris Cody.
Are they trying to do a thing though? Maybe like
they
the
are trying to
speaker.
Recreate that. I'm telling you, like,
but it's like a joke though.
Yeah.
Maybe they're being ironic.
Because I'm sure they can get a boombox if they wanted to. Yeah. I think the point with the little like Bluetooth speakers.
I don't know, man. It just makes. I've seen it a couple times, and it's sad every time.
It's because it's a team manager in a polo that's walking through with the boombox. I'm watching the video now, and it is embarrassing.
It's
DJ Burns looks like the only. Like,
it's not the 49ers. Like the 49ers couldn't look any cooler doing it. And it's the exact opposite.
This is DJ Burns' third basketball program. He was at Tennessee and Winthrop before that. And there was a graphic that I saw before the game with Duke that Duke was the only team whose starters in the starting five had been with just that one program. If you look, there were some graphs that I couldn't even tell the program that they were looking at because there wasn't even a logo represented by the program that they were in the Elite Eight with. It's a wild time in college sports particularly, which is why I don't know how many times we're going to get the opportunity to see what we're seeing tonight with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. These players deciding to stay in a sport because they both could have gone pro easily last year, deciding to come back, get an NIL check, meet up yet again in the tournament. That's why I think tonight is going to be a ratings bonanza. It might be the highest rated college basketball game, men's or women's, of the modern era.
And I think your point about Larry versus Magic, I think that actually sets up really well, and it kind of helps me. I don't know if I'm not speaking for Roy here, but Roy, let me know if this is something.
Which
that
one's
makes
Larry?
You
which one's Magic?
I'm going to need you to specify.
All right, so I'm not going to do that.
The thing is, they both also talk trash on the court too. So when Caitlin does the shut the bleep up stuff on the court, that lands differently when Caitlin does it than it would for Angel.
Well,
you're playing yourself if you're not acknowledging that.
I think part of the reason that anybody would cheer for Angel, regardless of race, is Caitlin, even though she hasn't won the championship, has gotten, to use Chris's phrase, all her flowers. She has gotten so much attention. She is going to, you know, be all eyes on her for the rest of her career, effectively. Angel Reese, meanwhile, has won a championship and still doesn't feel like she's respected in the same way. And I feel like it helps the rivalry more if Angel wins again tonight.
Yeah.
And just sets it up for in the
for
long
the pros.
Because if Caitlin wins, it feels like it's the end of a story. It's like, oh, she didn't win it last year, came back, beat Angel, won the whole thing, boom, now she's going to the pros, greatest player ever.
Pro wrestling elements yet again. That's the narrative of Cody Rhodes. You want Caitlin Clark to finish her story. And it may not come here in the college ranks. It's funny, though, when you made your joke about which one's Magic, which one's Larry. When Larry and Magic were playing, the smiling, commercial, marketable face was Magic, and the guy that would talk loads of shit on the court and be nasty to opposing players was Larry Bird. And I don't know if history remembers it when that was happening. It was a little bit before my time, but there was a white-black thing, very clearly. And they went all the way through the pros with it to the point that most people like still talk about it, romanticize it, saying that's when basketball was at its best.
Just hearing this conversation, I can imagine the steam coming out of Gino Auriemma's ears. Has he ever been this irrelevant?
He's
like,
so relevant,
he dominated
though.
The sport forever, and we're not even discussing. They play tonight too.
That game is arguably could even be a better game. USC against UConn, where you have Juju Watkins against Paige Beckers. Like, that's going to be a spectacular basketball game. And yet, because of the spectacle of what Iowa and LSU is tonight, we just spent the first 30 minutes of the show talking about the other game. There's some great basketball happening tonight.
It's WrestleMania week, and I'm going to go with yet another wrestling analogy. There was a Toronto WrestleMania where Hollywood Hulk Hogan took on The Rock, and it is the only match that is remembered from that card. Chris Jericho had to face Triple H after that match, and it was a dud. And that is what's going to happen to USC UConn today. They are following Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus The Rock in Sky Dome.
Well, you're saying that nobody talks about Geno or UConn. That's because everybody's talking about Don Staley in South Carolina because they've been dominating lately.
Yeah, they've been dominating, but they've also been tested in ways that the lines associated with their name headed into this tournament may not reflect. They've been in some battles and been tested in ways that I don't think anyone was expecting, because it was a foregone conclusion, which is another great reason why the committee got it right in putting LSU and Iowa where they did, because of how dominant South Carolina has been all season long. If they were on an opposite end of the bracket, we may not have seen this.
Was Paige Beckers going to be Caitlin Clark before Clayton Clark, before those injuries?
Yeah, and then she just got hurt, and she's come back and been an amazing player, but there's an argument to be made, I think, that like she had this ceiling that everybody anticipated she would reach in college that she hasn't been able to because of those injuries, but she's still a spectacular player. Caitlin Clark just got to come in and have this unbelievable career that's led to her getting more of the hype.
You mentioned Gino, and Gino's not just jealous because he's on the bill and he's a total afterthought. He's going on after this game, and he is a small font top of the line Coachella act compared to Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. But Gino Auriemma isn't even the biggest cult of personality head coach in the sport anymore. Kim Mulkey has taken that. He's probably more jealous of Kim Mulkey than he is of LSU and Iowa grabbing headlines. He's like, I'm the coach that got under everybody's skin. I was the one that was driving the conversation. Gino is actually positioned quite well that a UConn run with Gino Auriemma at the helm has flown totally under the radar. Man, what a moment in time we're in right now. And depending on how this game goes, because if it follows the script and we have a tight finish and we have Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark going at one another, and no matter the result, it's going to be great because it's either going to be tied in the college ranks or Caitlin Clark's going to have another painful loss and has to finish the story in the pros. No matter the result, as long as it's a good game with individual moments where maybe they jaw at each other on the court, this sets up so nicely for women's basketball as a whole. And I do think that even though they probably, it's been debated whether or not they'd make less money in the pros. I think the NIL, we saw that Fox was considering an NIL package for Caitlin Clark because the ratings are such. It is hugely important to advance the game and do what they're doing right now for college basketball for the WNBA.
Where do you think? Do you think that's where it goes? You think it goes? They just follow the fandom to the WNBA because it's a different type of year. Different time of year. They're also not going to be as great when they step on that WNBA court. So to me, the fear of it of not continuing the flow, to ride that wave, it's got to be one or two more great players in college.
You don't think that they're going to be as great in the pros? I understand that the competition is better, but when LeBron James is this highly touted prospect and he fulfills that promise, no matter who's on the court, his elite level of play does pop off the screen.
Yeah, was Steph Curry great right when he got into the pros?
No, he had to work it out. There was also a weird roster construction
there.
He
had injuries too. His ankles were dust those first couple years.
You didn't know where you were going to play him. You had Monte Ellis there. He went to a really weird spot because Minnesota decided to take Johnny Flynn.
It just depends on, I mean, she's probably going to be with Indiana. It just depends on how much responsibility they want to give her right off the bat.
I'd say she's
better,
minus 8,000 to go to Indiana. Yeah, she's definitely going to go to Indiana. I kind of want to, depending on how tonight goes, I want either Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese to rep another country in the Olympics and just pour more gasoline on this rivalry.
I actually think if the college game still has the stars like Juju Watkins sort of carrying this over into next year because she seems like she is it, like the next great thing, I think that's where you're going to see most of the attention. And then if and when we see their greatness show up in the WNBA, they will draw a bunch of eyes there, mostly because I think it's the time of year that really lends itself to people trying out new sports. But I think, yeah, I think those two are probably what's going to have to be the draw. So in a way, you almost kind of knock on the door of that coach in Indiana, say, listen, just go ahead and give her the keys.
Last year, when you had a really bizarre Final Four, a historical outlier, you had Miami, FAU, San Diego State made it to the championship game, and you had the perceived blue blood, UConn, the legitimate one, as Miami is still building up their credibility. It was weird, and there wasn't really a star-making performance there. This year, there are stars in the Final Four, and it's because of their mass. Let's be honest. They're doing things at unbelievable sizes. And I want to circle back to some of the pro prospect conversation that surrounded Zach Edey rather than just the joy. Because if you watch that game, hell, dude even looks spry, more spry than he's looked. As the season's gone on, he's played himself into better shape and he's quicker to the eye. He dominated that game yesterday. A 40 burger.
That was
Zach
a
Edey.
Perfect phrasing by you. You said they're doing things at unbelievable sizes. The things they're doing, totally normal. It's just the size that makes it interesting. Every Zach Edey highlight is pivot layup. Yeah. Pivot layup. Or hey,
shoot over guy that's smaller.
Yeah. Or that. Or,
yeah, but now he's getting the type of rejections that it's not just, okay, that's a tall guy rejection. Like he's getting some oomph behind it, some stink behind the rejections. I understand that he's got some things working to his advantage.
He cut down the net without a ladder.
There was the pro prospect conversation surrounding Zach Edey has usually been, especially on this show, that he's probably got European prospects, not going to see the court. And then someone made the Boban comp, and Boban, depending on the situation, he could go in and get buckets. If you plopped Boban into the NCAA tournament right now, I imagine it would look a lot like Zach Edey. What do you make of the narrative around Zach Edey? It certainly bothered him because there was some attitude and some chest pounding over there at Purdue, and they have certainly fed off of this narrative that he's not going to do anything at the next level. It's kind of weird. They're seeking motivation for one player's pro prospects.
So it's just a rumor that Dan is not coming back until after Edey's knocked out of the tournament, because I have a feeling his social media accounts are just on fire with Purdue folks.
I usually go to you for pro prospect evaluation.
Here's the thing. When he gets to the NBA, if he's going to be anything, he's going to be leaner. He's going to be more mobile than we see him now. Will it be enough of an upgrade? I don't know. Does he have the time to do that and have teams be patient with him? Absolutely. I mean, Orlando Robinson, I know he's not the same type of player, at times was a rotation player with the Heat. So I think Zach Edey, get him in the right shape, he can absolutely be an NBA rotation guy.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.